sing for you as well. They're going to show you the verse that they learned this week with all the cool hand motions. And but I ask you even now to pray for them because many of them are nervous. Am I right? You're a little nervous? I was too when I used to do it. Pastor Rich had us do it as teenagers as well. And I think I'm looking around the room, people are saying, yeah, me too when I was a teenager. And pray for them even now, and I know you'll be blessed by it. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do tonight even, and as they share their hearts. And I told them, I said, listen, teens, anybody can get up here and say, I had a good time, it was really fun, and God spoke to my heart. And I said, you know, they know God spoke to your heart. They want to know what He spoke to your heart about so they can pray for you specifically. So I ask you to pray for them even now. And what we're going to do first, we're going to do the song first, right? We're doing the singing first. Let's stand together. We're just going to sing songs that you know, but really they really kind of show really what the Lord did in our heart this this week. Let's sing it out. Song, and that's what it's all about, folks. God was so good to us this week and kept us safe on our travels, spoke to our hearts. So we're going to have our girls come. Come on up, girls. Stand right here. And Kaylee, you too. You're a girl. Don't forget. And guys, I want you to do it the same way that you showed it to me when you did it, all right? With the same emotion and excitement. Okay, if you get laughed at, then good. That's what we're going for, okay? So you're gonna lead it, right, Aaron? Okay, I'm not doing it, so pull right ahead. Kaylee just said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Oh, great job, girls. We had such a good time this week. We're going to start actually with our sponsors first, giving testimonies. And so I'm going to have Uncle Jack at this time, our dedicated driver, and did such an awesome job. So he's going to come up and give a testimony first. Great job.
I get to go first. I can go back to sleep. Yeah, we had a good time down there. The preaching was excellent. Talked about different things that teenagers needed, obedience to their parents, purity, and stuff like that. And the preacher was like 200 years old, but he did an excellent job. I was really impressed. He brought things down to the teenagers' level, and he was funny, and, you know, it's just an excellent time. The place was like going to a resort. It was just a great place. Teenagers did pretty good, but there was these three boys that TP'd my room twice. And I never forget. So, we'll keep, you know, if you see something happen to a couple of them, it's just the way it is. And we also had this one young lady got caught out after curfew, 1 o'clock in the morning, and she kept saying, "But I'm the pastor's wife." I don't know. You know. Anyhow, that's the way it is. And some young lady also threw a water bottle and hit me while I was driving. Where is that young lady at? Oh, right there. Yeah, we had an excellent time. Kids are really, really good. We, you know, and I appreciate you letting me drive them down there. And I love you guys.
Thank you, Uncle Jack. I'll tell that whole story when it's my turn about the naughty teenager who's out past curfew. Miss Hazel's going to come and give her testimony.
Okay, I don't have a whole lot to say tonight. No, it was really good. I enjoyed being with the girls so much. I got to room right with them and stuff. And our two younger ones, they really add a lot of life to this youth group. I mean, we started out Sunday night. They had a bath party in the bathtub in the motel room. And then every night the two of them would stay up really talking and throwing whatchamajigger. What are those things?
A loofah.
A loofah. A whatchamajigger bop. And the older girls would just kind of fall asleep and didn't hear a thing. So, the speaker was excellent. But one thing I really liked about the camp was the fact that we get to be with the kids so much. They had people running the camp that ran all the games and everything. I mean, we didn't have that responsibility, and that was great. But the kids, when it came to free time, I mean, when they were ice skating, they were ice skating. I tried, but usually by the time I got ready to get out there, everybody was ready to quit. So, and the inline skating and everything. I mean, when they went rock climbing, Pastor Donald and Marissa were right there with them doing the same thing and stuff. And it was just great seeing the kids wanting to spend their every free minute they had with them. And the important thing, too, was seeing the heart that Pastor Donald and Marissa has for the kids and his concern for them and going to the altar and praying for them, even if our kids didn't necessarily always go. But our kids did make some good decisions, and I'm sure you're going to hear about that. Thank you.
And I love you, team.
Why do you always do that to me, Miss Hazel? My goodness, make me choke up before I got to talk. My goodness gracious. No, it was a good week. And I wish you could just see, I couldn't even get all the pictures up of all the activities that they did have. I mean, just even what you saw wasn't everything. And they're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to have Mr. Eddie Cook come on up first for the team. Come on, Eddie. He said, don't make me go first. I said, I didn't. I had the sponsors go first. So Eddie's going to come up. And I told him not to talk too fast. I told him to speak into the microphone. I told him not to rush it. Don't rush. It's very, had a really good time. It was fun. So I don't think Eddie will do that. So come on up, buddy.
Okay. First, I was not the one that TP'd his room. I promise. I want to thank you for the prayers there and back and while we were there to learn and grow closer to God. And probably the funniest thing that happened to us was at Indiana when we stayed the night at the church in the nursery with a lot of creepy toys going off during the night. And I got tired of them, so I decided that Tristan would like to hear them instead. Like, just... Alright, I'll skip. Alright, and then we got to Florida. We got to do a lot of the cool rock climbing, ice skating and stuff. Rocked it all, okay? And I loved the preaching, and I learned, I was reminded of hell, what it's like, and it's never ending. I think about 13 years of my life, that's just like not even going through a minute in hell, because it's forever and it never stops. And Pastor Pope did a message on surrendering your life. I did that at Teen Spec, and I think God wanted me to be a youth pastor, but I never did anything about it, and Pastor Donald never even knew about it until last week, and I asked God to forgive me for that, and PD. And then on the way back, I was passed out. They thought it'd be funny to put a mint in my mouth when I was sleeping. And on the way back, I got used to traveling because it was 17 hours there and a whole fun 17 hours back. And I loved the food, all you can eat. It was awesome. I got sick for 4 days and then I learned my lesson. And I want to thank you for getting us back home safely, and the sponsors for coming and watching over us and spending time with us. And, yeah.
Amen. Good job, buddy. Good job, Eddie. We had a good time with him. I'm going to have Abby come on up. Abby, roll her eyes at me. Her first eye roll as a teenager in my youth group. That's awesome. Come on up, Abby. You'll do fine. Go.
This was my first year of teen camp. It was fun, and I loved the preacher, and I made a purity promise. And Johnny Pope spit a lot. He spit on me a few times. My favorite part was ice skating, and my least favorite part was the walking. The food was great. Me and Devin had to run up the stairs a few times because the elevator was taken. And we made a lot of weird friends. And the water park was fun. I went on the flow rider and I fell off the board and went up anyway. Johnny Pope is a good preacher. He taught about staying pure and to surrender your life for God. And I had fun. It was hot. I don't know what to say. Thank you for all your prayers on the way there and on the way back. And thank you for getting us home safe. I'm done.
Yep, we sat right on the front row about 3 feet from the platform, and there was a couple times I saw a little, you know. I would try to catch them, you know, hey. So, no, but what else did you say? I wanted to say something else, too. What were you just talking about? Huh? Not the spitting. Huh? Oh, that was what I wanted to say. Yes. Brother Pope, the first night, Monday night, he got up there, and everybody's, you know, cheering for him, excited, and they wouldn't stop talking. You know, I think he said something about like a sports team, everybody's talking, and they kept talking. There's 1,000 teens there. And Brother Pope, he's standing up, and everybody talks, and he just says, shut up! And he just, shut up! So later on that night, you know, some of our teens were taking notes, and I saw Abby's notebook open up, and it said, Dr. Johnny Pope, teen camp, and then the first thing said, shut up, right on her notes. It was great. I'm going to have Javon coming up. Come on, Javon, come on up, buddy. Javon's been coming for about a year. I think one of his first things was the back-to-school camp out last year, so we're glad he got to come with us. Go ahead.
All right. I just want to thank you guys for all the prayers on the way there and on the way back. I want to thank you for getting us home safe. And I really enjoyed the water park and the pool. And the food was great. And this week, when Johnny Pope preached on the message about surrendering your life to God, I decided to surrender to be a youth pastor. And I also got saved this week. And we almost left Tristan behind when he was getting a slushy inside. And like Pastor John said, this was my first teen camp going to. I hope to go back there next year again.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, it's good to have, I want to say it's great to have all of our parents here tonight. Some I know that they're good to have the Russes here and Danny's mom, so we're so glad you're here. And by the way, we didn't leave him, I promise you. He went out the wrong door. We weren't going to leave him, I promise you. And I'm going to have Devin come up. Come on up, Devin. Come on up, Devin. She's going to give her testimony.
Devin! Okay. At camp this year, I had a lot of fun with the activities and everything, but my favorite part was really getting to know everyone in the youth group. I didn't really know anybody except for my sister, obviously. And I got to know everybody, and we had a great time together. And there was really good preaching at the camp. Johnny Pope, he preached on obeying and, like, surrendering yourself to the Lord. And, sorry, I made a promise to Pastor Donald that I would stay pure until marriage. And I also decided that I'm going to get rid of some of my friends because they're not good for me. And I was really proud of Tristan because he did, like, really good preaching for us when we stayed in Indiana on Friday. Made me cry because he was so good. And and thanks to everyone for praying for us, and thanks for driving us, and thanks to Aunt Hazel for being such a good roommate to me.
Good job, Danny. Come on, Danny. This is Danny's first trip with us as well. Danny, they love you, man.
Wow. All right. First of all, I just want to thank you all for your prayers. We had a really great time down there. And even though it was a really, really, really long drive, we all got to know each other, and we're just a bit much closer. The preaching down there was very, very good. It reminded me that we're all like a cracked pot, but God can still use us in whatever way He wants. And I want to thank you for driving us down there. Probably. It's really hard with all of us. So, yeah. And with all the activities that we could have done, it was just all really, really fun.
Kaylee Smith's going to come up. Come on, Kaylee. Kaylee's our youth group brat. I'm so glad she's with us.
Okay, where to start? Camp this year was a lot of fun, obviously. The drive down and back was very, very hot. There was no air conditioner on the way down. But, I mean, I guess it kind of made us get closer. But I want to thank Pastor Donald and Marissa for being there for us. I love you guys so much. Thanks for being there for everyone. And, well, I call them Grandma and Grandpa, but Mr. and Mrs. Miller, thank you for coming down and driving us. And I'm really sorry for hitting you in the back of the head with a water bottle. and thank you to the Ewalds for coming. It was really nice getting to know you guys. I love you guys. You're super nice people. And the food. The food was so good. We had 7 choices every night. It was awesome. And then there was, I'd say me and Eddie did the rock wall the most. We just climbed it all the time. I mean, I didn't get up to the top very much, but that's okay. And then we went swimming a lot. They had a really nice swim center with a really high diving board. That was fun. And Johnny Pope was an amazing preacher. I loved his preaching. And I decided to give my life to God, give everything to Him, be faithful to church. If He died for me, then that's the least I could do, is just to give it all to Him. And it was just an amazing week, and thank you so much for all your prayers. And I'm trying to think of a funny story, but I can't. There's so many. Okay. So Javon really liked this elevator that they had there. And one day we were walking past, and he's just sitting in this elevator, going up and down. We came back about 2 hours later, and he was still sitting in the elevator, riding it the whole time. But once again, thank you all for all your prayers, and it was just a really great week.
Testimonies always make me nervous because there's a lot that, you know, it's such a big campus. I'm not always with them all the time. I don't know what everything that goes on. But I did see Javon in the elevator, so I did see that. Aaron, come on up. Aaron's going to come up. And, Aaron Fitzgerald, so we're... Go ahead, sister.
All right. So camp this week was, like, really, just really, really great. And the ride down there was kind of awful because it was really long and there was no AC, but it was also really great because I just got to know everybody. Like, before, I really didn't talk to anyone but my sister, and I didn't, like, know anybody. But I got to know Caitlin so well, and she's not here. I really wish she was here because I really got to know her really well. I got to know Kaylee really, really well. I got to know Danny. I got to know Eddie. I got to know Tristan. I got to know Javon. I got to know everybody. And it was great. We just all got so closer, and we all had such great memories. And when we got there, you know, it was really great, and we all just went around and did a bunch of stuff. And I got to watch Pastor Donald wipe out on rollerblading. He was trying to be so cool and, like, jump up and down and turn around, and he just fell. It was fantastic. But I kind of really can't say anything because I fell, like, 8 times. So, and... I also got left behind, almost got left behind in Alabama because one of these lovely people decided to tell Uncle Jack that everybody was on the bus and I wasn't on the bus yet. So I almost got left behind in a gas station in Alabama. Yeah. But I also made some decisions this week, and I decided on Wednesday night, Pastor Johnny Pope, he didn't preach for us. The campus pastor, Pastor McBride, preached for us. He preached about how even though we're all cracked, broken vessels, the Lord can still use us. And that really spoke to me and really helped me. And also, on the ride back up, me and Pastor Donald had a really heartwarming conversation. And we were both just really, really honest with each other. And I realized that God made me the way I am for a reason. Tall, skinny, and crooked-toothed for a reason. And terrible eyesight. Terrible eyesight as well. But... because we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. But I just had a really great time with all of these teens. And we all just really got to know each other. And I just want to thank Tristan. Tristan gave us a message. And it spoke to my heart more than anything I had heard that week. It was just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And also, I made a vow to Pastor Donald that I would stay pure until marriage. So, oh, and the food was just awesome. I had chicken tenders, mashed potatoes, and broccoli like 3 times that week. So, yeah, it was just really, really great. And me, Kaylee, and Abigail got really soaking wet, sweaty, and dirty during this game, and everyone else was just like, oh, we're going to sit and not do anything because, yeah, we're so cool. Cough, Danny, cough. Cough, Danny and Devin. Danny and Devin. So, yeah, everybody participated except for Danny and Devin. All right, so, yeah.
Amen. Well, it's all about, folks. Tristan's going to come and give his testimony. And very proud of this young man. Did a great job. All of our teens were phenomenal this week. We didn't have to... it was great. We didn't have to worry about anybody. You know, I know teens are teens. I know that. And we kept an eye on them. We were with them the whole time. But... we just, you know, they just did so well for us. They were obedient. They followed the rules. And it was just, you should be proud of your teams. Tristan, come up with your testimony, buddy.
My name is Tristan Russ, and the ride was great. I want to thank you guys for your prayers. I want to thank Grandpappy for the... for driving. I want to thank Grandmammy for sitting there. And I helped her out in a turn because whenever I got a water, she was so warm from the air conditioner in the front row. So I gave her the water that was dripping off of my bottle.
But the food was great, and I didn't know, I wasn't good friends with any of these guys, and now I'm way closer than I was before. And what was really funny is Danny mentioned that he got, that there's a toys, and Danny was like, he went all the way in the back where no one knew where he was to sleep because the toys would say, night, night. And Danny thought that someone was going to break into the church. Pastor Donald scared him to death. And I surrendered to be a youth pastor. God really spoke to my heart. And I promised to Pastor Donald that I'd be pure. And what really scared me and what helped me think more is when Brother Pope, his preaching was really good, but when he said that if you don't surrender to God, if you go down to hell, that a bird goes around the world and brushes his wing on a rock, and he'll go around the world and brush his wing on the rock until he wears that rock down to a, or the boulder down to a pebble, that's like one day in hell. And that really what pushed me and really scared me. And that's just what really got me. So I want to thank all of you guys. I want to thank Pastor Donald. He really helped me because I always felt like, since Teen Spec, I felt like I wanted to be a youth pastor and that God was speaking to my heart. And then this week, we had devotions, and I finally came out and told him. And I asked the Lord for forgiveness that I didn't come out sooner because apparently I did a good job preaching, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I want to thank you guys.
Amen. Amen. And my wife has Donald. She's not in the room right now, but she wanted just to share with how great of a week she had and how thankful we were for the Ewalds for coming down with us. And I got my notes too, because I got to do this testimony and then go right into preaching. So I'm just going to follow my notes and not get ahead of myself. But we did it. We had a wonderful trip on the way up. God kept us safe. God gave us good weather. I don't think we hit too many rainstorms until we got to Florida. And then even that, it was just so quick. But God gave us a safe trip. And as I said, even without the AC, man, it was hot. And we had the windows open. Uncle Jack had AC. It was great for him. I would sit up there and navigate. Even if the GPS said like 800 miles on this one road, I'm like, well, I'm just navigating with Uncle Jack, making sure we're going the right direction so I can feel some of the AC coming. But really, even with the heat, man, no bad attitudes. None. No rotten attitudes. They had fun. They were joking around. Last year we brought 26 on that bus. So it was pretty crammed. It's almost hard not to have a rotten attitude. But even with the group, we had all the luggage in there. We had everybody, you know, pretty much got their own seat. Some had to share, and there were no bad attitudes. Everybody had great attitudes. So we traveled to from here to Evansville, Indiana, Bakery Road Baptist Church, where Faith Music Missions is, with Pastor Stephen Russ. And I'll tell you, that church took such good care of us. They provided lodging for all of us. I think the girls stayed in a house. The Ewalds had the prophet's chamber. The guys stayed in the church. My wife and our boys stayed with Pastor Russ. And they just took such good care of us, provided a meal for us on Saturday night. And then we spent Sunday morning service with them. And I don't know if you guys get to mention that, but on the way home we were talking about what a great time we had. On Saturday night we played basketball, hung out. Sunday we had teen Sunday school. He had me teach a teen Sunday school, and that was fun. And then we were in service. I got to sing in service with Pastor Stephen, which was fun. And Brother Stephen brought a great message. And I know Eddie in devotions on Thursday night mentioned that one of the messages that spoke to his heart the most was the message that we heard on Sunday. And that really encouraged me, and I told Pastor Stephen the same thing. But then they provided lunch for us before we left, and they just took such good care of us on the way down. And actually, Pastor Stephen will be preaching our back-to-school camp out in August. So we're looking forward. I know the teens got to meet him and hang out with him, and he's going to be coming back down for us in August. But when we got to the college, I had never been to PCC. Actually, I don't think any of us had ever been to PCC. My sister went there. I obviously know about the college for many years, but never been down there. And I'm telling you, what a blessing. God has really blessed that place and has really used that place all over the world. And what a beautiful campus they had. I'm telling you, just well taken care of. I mean, it was like its own, reminded me of Disneyland, like their own little city. I mean, this place was just, had, you know, gates around the whole place, and all these buildings, beautiful, beautiful buildings, beautiful facilities. Their sports center, which had the rock climbing wall. I believe, as far as I know, I don't know, a few years back at least, I know it was, unless something's changed in the past few years, but they have the largest rock climbing wall in America. At a Christian college, and if you saw pictures on Facebook or even on the slideshow, it was actually just like an actual mountain, just in this huge room, 60 foot high. I mean, it was amazing, just their facilities. And many of them said they did it, but they'll tell you that I taught them how to do it. I felt like a mountain. Yes, I did. I said, put your left foot up. I mean, I was just, I really realized that if the Lord hadn't called me to be a youth pastor, He may have called me to be a rock climber, a mountain climber, because I was just, I was phenomenal at it. And they know it's true. They know it's true. Everyone that they couldn't do, I'm like, I'm going to conquer it as a youth pastor. And I did. I have a mark. I fell one time, but I did very well. But no, but it was just amazing. The rock wall, what else? The water park. A Christian college has a water park. It's so random, but it was so cool. Three water slides, a flow rider, and the teens had such a good time. They opened all this up for the teens, free of charge. I mean, we pay for camp, but those are activities that you can just go to. You can just go to the rock wall whenever you want during the free time. And they had, the security guards have these segways, the little two-wheel thing, and they're driving all around campus. Well, they did segway tours. And we signed up for it. Me and my wife and three of the teenagers signed up. It was only five at a time. And we got to ride the segways around campus. They gave us a tour. And what they did was, those segways can get up like 15 miles an hour. Well, they have a turtle mode, is what they call it. And it's like 5 miles an hour, which is still pretty quick. I mean, on this little... Well, we got there. It was me, my wife, Tristan, Eddie, and Kaylee. And they said, well, one of them is broken. We couldn't get it to stay on turtle mode. I said, you know what? I'll be the responsible youth pastor. I don't want my teens getting hurt. I'll take the one that's broken, that's faster. I don't want my teens to be injured. And they got really mad at me for that. But I'm just trying to be responsible. Didn't want your kids getting hurt. And then I got to speed around. It was great. But that was really cool. And like I said, the meals, it's you walk in and, you know, like when you go to an amusement park or someplace, they have a little metal bars and you kind of walk through it and it turns down, and they had those just for the lunchroom, and it was huge. Seven different meal choices. There's like this own little section, this own little buffet. They had pizza, they had southern food, they had Asian food, they had a healthy food, which I stayed away from. But they had all these amazing meal choices. As they said, all you can eat, and I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, you think they're cooking for 1,000 people, they're going to skimp a little. No, it was delicious. I mean, everything was so high class, and it was. It didn't even feel like camp when we were eating, because usually camp food's not that great. This was awesome, and that was great. My wife and I, with our boys, stayed in the campus house, which is a hotel that PCC owns right on campus, so we got to stay in there. It was like an actual hotel room. Just so comfortable. They took such good care of us. And I'm so thankful for your prayers. I saw this morning as I was walking out, Pastor asked, how many of you prayed for our team this week? And I just saw almost every hand go up. And that means so much to this youth pastor, that you would take the time to pray for our teens. And I know many of you pray for them all year round, but especially this week, God answered your prayers. He kept us safe. He took care of us, and He spoke to their hearts. So thankful for the Millers coming with us, Uncle Jack driving, Miss Hazel. I know, and Miss Hazel will be the first to tell you that sometimes the walking is difficult. We went to the Wilds, and they had all those steps, and it was just so difficult. Well, this place had all this walking. I mean, it's just so much. But never complaining, went and did such a great job with our team, such an encouragement to my heart. And Uncle Jack driving that whole way. And even though we broke it up, it's still a lot of driving. And so appreciative of them. So appreciative of the Ewalds for coming. Brother Ewald came to me just a few weeks before camp. And Marissa's parents were supposed to come and watch the boys. Well, something came up and they couldn't do it. So Mr. Ewald came to us and they said, you know, we want to know if you'd like us to come and we'll watch your boys for the week. He said, you don't have to pay for us. We'll take care of everything. And I'll tell you, that's just a blessing to my heart. An answer to prayer. I mean, I didn't know what we were going to do. I'm thinking, if we bring the boys, it just wouldn't work. And God answered our prayers with the Ewalds, and they took the boys all day long. We saw them for meals. They just slept in our room. But the whole rest of the day, we got to invest in our teenagers. We got to hang out with them and follow them around as they ran from thing to thing to thing without having to worry about our boys. And at the same time, the boys get to be with us. And we didn't have to leave them. We don't like leaving our kids at home week after week after week. And the fact that they were willing to come and watch them was just such an answer to prayer and such a blessing. We're so thankful for you folks for doing that. And what a blessing that was. And as I said before, I'm so proud of these teenagers, how well they behaved. I'd be the first to say, you know, if they weren't behaving. But they did. The teeping of the rooms, of Uncle Jack's room, I think the counselor told them they could. Said, you can prank, but just don't prank, just only in your own rooms. So they have permission to do it, not for me. But they were so behaved. They listened during the services. Even, we were in the front row, but even when we weren't in the front row the first few nights, I'm always checking, make sure no one's sleeping. And they weren't. They were looking at the preacher. They were taking notes. They were listening and making decisions in their heart. And that was, I was just so proud of them for how good they did. Didn't sneak off. I mean, such a big campus, it'd be easy to sneak. None of them did. We stayed as a group. We had our groups. They didn't go off alone. And they just did so, so well. And I was so proud of them and so glad. Brother Pope, Dr. Johnny Pope, pastors in Texas, did a phenomenal job, as Uncle Jack said, even for his age, just relating to the teenagers and coming right down to love. We went from laughing hysterically to shedding a tear just with how the Lord used him there. And it was just so amazing. Thursday morning, he preached his message on purity. And he gave the teens at the end of the service during the invitation the opportunity to come up. He had all the youth pastors get up and stand at the front. We were at the front anyway. And he said, if you want to make this vow of purity, I want you to come up to your youth pastor. And don't give him this big long spiel. Just come up to him and say, I promise. That's all I got to say. Don't say, just say, I promise. And you can go sit down. And me and my wife stood up there. And one after one, every single one of our teens came up to us, looked us dead in the eye, and said, I promise. I promise. I promise. And I'll tell you, for this youth pastor, man, it just fired me up. It got me so excited. And man, they made that vow. Thursday night, he preached on the little boy with the five loaves and two fishes and about giving your life to God and giving your talents to God and just giving your all to the Lord. And he gave the invitation. It was kind of different. He said you can come forward and pray, but he said, if you feel the Lord calling you to do anything, he said, I'm going to stand down at the front. And I want you to come forward. Just come tell me what it is. Just come right down and tell me what the Lord's called you to do. So they played the invitation song, and a few teens came forward. Some of them got saved, and some of them felt called to preach. And then they went back and sat down. He prayed with them, and they went back and sat down. He said, we're going to sing one more verse, and if no one comes, then we'll close the invitation. And I'll tell you, it was like the Holy Spirit just swept through that room, and he did. And hundreds came to the altar and lined up and told Brother Pope what the Lord called them to do. Some of them to preach, to be a missionary, to be a pastor's wife, to get saved. He Brother Pope would stop and say, you know, he would cover his lapel, and then he would uncover and say, you know, folks, I want to let you know what's going on down here. He said almost one out of every 18 that come down here is getting saved. And God just did a mighty work. And then he'd pray with them again and send them back, and they said, we're going to do one more verse if no one comes. And he probably did that five times because they just kept coming. I know that was the night Javon went down and felt called to be a youth pastor. And God used that so much in our teens that night. And I remember Tristan looking over at me and just saying, man, isn't this awesome? And it was so powerful. Now, I want to be honest with you. I want to be honest with our church. I was honest with our teens. You know, that night we were sitting in the front row. And we saw all these teens coming forward and making decisions and surrendering their lives to the Lord. And some of our, at first, none of our teens really went forward. And I'm kind of thinking, man, what's going on? Did I do something wrong or what's going on? I mean, they didn't have bad attitudes. They weren't being rebellious. What's the deal? And I wondered about that. And the devil started whispering things in my ear like, man, these teens don't care. Man, you're not doing the right job as a youth pastor. You're obviously messing something up. You know, blah, and he started, and I'm starting to get annoyed, standing there at the front, right. We're 4 feet from Brother Pope, and I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? What? And I'm sitting there, and I kind of got discouraged. And I never forget, after service is over, we all dismiss, and again, no one had bad attitudes. No one was like sitting there, but they're standing there. They're excited for the team making decisions. I'm thinking, what's going on? And I remember seeing this big youth group. This guy brought like 70 kids, and they're all giving testimonies, and I'm starting to get jealous. Sitting there. And this is the flesh, folks. This is your pastor, your youth pastor being transparent with you. And the flesh was working in me, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm sitting there not happy for this guy. Jealous, envious. And I'm like, man, I talked to the Pope about it, and I said, Brother Pope, I said, I don't know what the deal is. And he said the same thing that pastor would have said to me. He said the same thing that my wife said to me. He said the same thing to me that I would have said to somebody else if they came to me with that. He said, listen, you need to wait on God. Hey, it's not you.
don't blame yourself for this. Hey, we got one more message left. He said, hey, you got the ride home. You got devotions tonight. And it was almost like, yeah, okay, whatever. I've heard that before. And you know what? That was the same night we finished. I thanked him for his time. We went and we spent time with the teenagers, and I went and did devotions with the young men that night in their dorms. It was Uncle Jack was sleeping and Javon had gone to bed, but it was me and Eddie and Tristan and Danny, and I made them pack. I went in their dorms, we're fooling around, and I wanted to give them a short devotional, and I read the passage from, I believe it's Matthew 2, when the wise men go to King Herod asking about this star for the Messiah. And Herod says, oh, and he tells him where it is, and he says, hey, make sure you come back and tell me after you see this Messiah, because I want to go worship him too. And we know that was a lie. Well, the wise men go, they find Jesus, they worship him, they give him the gift, and then it says that God came to them in a dream and told them Herod's plan. And this is the phrase that I shared with these teen guys. It says they went home another way. They went home a different way. And I challenged our teen guys, and it wasn't long, I didn't preach long, I just shared a thought with them. I said, are you going to go home a different way? I said, I'm not talking about a different route going through, I said, I'm talking about your heart. Are you going to, you came to camp one way, are you going home different or are you going home the same? And I challenged them to go home another way. And then I asked for, I said, listen, I want you to tell me that a decision you made this week, that the Lord spoke to you through a message or whatever. And that is the night, the same night that the flesh was lying to me, and the devil was lying to me about my teams, was the same night that Tristan said, I think the Lord's called me to be a youth pastor. And it's like the Lord just kind of looked at me like this. And that was when Eddie said, you know what, the Lord spoke my heart about being a better witness and about being a youth pastor. And it's like God said, yeah. And then even Danny mentioned something about the Lord maybe using him one day maybe to do something with music. And I'm just sitting there like, wow. Wow, it's not about a big name preacher, folks. Listen, the Lord used that message. But listen, God can do just as much in the service tonight than He can at a week long camp meeting, at a 2 week revival. God can do just as much because God is powerful wherever He is. And to see God do that work that night in these teen guys, and then I know my wife spent some time with the girls as well, and just bonding and them making decisions. And the Lord began to show me the decisions that were made that week. And it got my heart so excited. And we prayed together as a guy. We left the next morning after service. We ate lunch on the road. And man, I'm just finishing up my... I don't have a long message, I promise. I know we have communion and things like that. But Friday we left, and we got an hour down the road, stopped for some gas. And we noticed we're actually... This is just the Lord taking care of us. We're getting ready to get back on the bus. We'd only been going an hour. And we getting ready to get back on the bus, and one of the truck drivers there says, hey, you better check out that tire. And we look at the rear passenger side tire, the single one, and it's almost flat. And I'm like, ooh. I said, it wasn't completely flat, but it was very, 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 very low. And we're getting ready. We were going to pull out of the gas station and get right on the freeway. We hadn't really hit the freeway yet. And I said, wow. So we drove over to the little pump, and we started filling it up, put the quarters in, filled it up. It started filling up, And then we said, well, we better just make sure there's nothing in the tire, you know, that is just maybe a slow leak. So there, Uncle Jack gets in the bus, he starts rolling it forward, looking at the tire. And then I see this little silver something. I said, oh my goodness, there's a screw in the tire. There was a screw in the tire. I said, man, goodness gracious. And just the Lord again, right behind the gas station was this auto shop. In the middle of nowhere, it's a podunk little mechanic shop. We drove it over there, said, listen, we got to get this tire fixed. And here's the youth pastor from me getting stressed. We got to get to Evansville. We got to get to Indiana. We got a 9.5-hour drive. We really don't need to be wasting time. This is why we left earlier. And I'm just kind of all these things in my head. You know, we got to pay for something else now. And I'm like, Lord, you take care of us. Thank you for helping us find this before we got in the interstate. And we didn't have a blowout and have to get towed. So I brought it in and we all waited in the gas station and just relaxed in the air conditioning. And then they drove it back over. And you know what? They fixed it for free. They fixed it for free. And it was just something that, another thing that the Lord just showed me, and I know He showed our team, that God provides. So we drove the rest of that way. God kept us safe. And during the trip, Tristan had mentioned, I think he was actually making a joke about preaching, like, hey, I'm a youth pastor, I'm preaching tonight. And I said, you know what? I think you are going to. I think you should preach tonight, buddy. Would you be willing to do that? And he's like, oh, yeah. So I said, I want you to find a verse that the Lord spoke to your heart about, or that you're reading. And I said, and then I'll work with you on just kind of getting a message together, and I'll let you do it, and I'll help you. So we found a verse, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to share this with you because I think you'll be blessed by it. And the teens were blessed by it. It's in Psalm 119 and verse 176. And it says this. It's David. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." And Tristan came up in the bus, and we sat there, and we began to develop a message. And we went through each phrase, and we got points, and I helped them alliterate it. And we got these points. And I said, "Tristan, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take the verse. I want you to explain maybe what David's talking about. Then I want you to apply it to everybody. Then I want you to see if you can get an illustration that goes along with the point." I said, "That's, you know, part of preaching." I said, "Preach from your heart." And he prepared it. He wrote all his notes out, got his 3 points. It was the cry of the lost Christian, the call to the loving Father, and the cure of the Lord's Word. And this young, and I helped him with that, but he, you know, we worked together on it, and he got his own illustrations up. And we got there Friday night about 10:15 to the church. We all got off immediately, went inside the auditorium. Pastor Stephen was there. We had a great time singing, and Danny and Eddie and me and Pastor sang a little quartet and just had a good time laughing. And then I called on Tristan to come up and preach. First time ever preaching. Just called to be youth pastor this week. Preached his first message on Friday night. And got up there, and it was great. I knew it was going to happen, because I remember my first time preaching. You're ready, you got your notes, and you're pumped. You're like, "I'm ready to go." And you get up there, and you're just kind of like, "Ugh." And Tristan began to preach, and he stumbled through his notes a little bit and said his points, but then he'd get to his illustrations. And Mr. Russ, he mentioned, you know, on the call to the loving Father, David said, "Seek thy servant, Lord, I need your help." And he talked about when he was a young man, just starting to play baseball, didn't really know how to play, and how you worked with him on being a catcher, and how now he's a catcher on his team. And he just poured his heart out to his peers. And I know what I did. I gave an invitation. And I asked the teen, I said, "Listen, I want you to..." David, he felt like a lost sheep. He felt like a lost sheep, and he needed the Lord's help, and he knew that he could go to the law of God, the Lord's Word, and that would help him. I said, "And some of you you're going to get home, and you're going to feel lost spiritually, not going to know what to do." I said, "If that's you, I want you to come forward to this altar right now and ask God for help when you get home, because it's easy to serve God and live for God during camp. It's all about when you get home." And all those teens came forward and prayed, and some of them were crying. I know Tristan was on the altar just weeping. And I think part of it, and we talked about it, he just felt that the Lord used him. And the Lord did use you, buddy. And I was just so proud of them. So proud of them that night. And they just all were bonded together like a youth group. And then, again, we finished the drive on Saturday. God kept us safe and brought us home safely, had a good time. And it was just, it was almost sad to see it end, really. It's almost sad to see it end. And I have a very short challenge I want to share with the team before we have our invitation tonight. And teens, I want you to listen well. I know you've been preaching all week by much better preachers than I, but I want you to listen. And the book of Daniel, chapter 1, we know the story of Daniel. Daniel... And these Jewish boys, these Jewish people, they were taken by the Babylonians, and they were being trained to be officers in the king's palace. That's what they were doing, and they were in a new land. They had to get new names. We know the new names that they got, and there were new customs they had to get accustomed to. There was new ideas, new language they had to learn. So they were really almost being brainwashed in a way. And the Babylonians, they were trying to transform God's children into what they wanted. Now, the new names weren't really a big deal to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the new religion part of things was going to be a problem for them. And it required them, this new religion required these Jews to go against God's law, to go against everything they've been taught, to break the holy law that was given to them by the Lord. And Daniel had to draw the line. And we know in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, wherewith he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." In the law of God, back in the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to eat certain types of meat and the blood and all those different things. And Daniel knew that's what the king's meat was. And he said, "Listen, I'm not doing it." He chose God's word over the king's word, over the king's food. He made a permanent decision to obey God and to obey His law, and nothing was going to stop him. Even when he got to the point when they said, "You cannot worship anyone else or pray to anyone else but the king," David didn't care. He said, "I'm going to pray to my God." And he spent the night in the lion's den, and God kept him safe because he made a permanent decision to obey God. And listen, the decisions, teams, that you've made this week, the vows that you've made this week, the callings that you felt you received this week from the Lord, whether it be a youth pastor or music or whatever, being a better witness, all these decisions that were made this week, my challenge to you is to make it permanent. Make it permanent. And folks, I know I'm preaching to you as well. Decisions that you've made in pastor's messages or in your own personal devotions, hey, let's make those decisions permanent. David purposed in his heart. Nothing was going to stop him from keeping his decision to follow God. Make it permanent. There's several things that we need to keep permanent. First of all, I'm going to just say this. When you get saved, your salvation is permanent. Don't forget that, teens. Your salvation, you're a child of God. That's permanent. The Bible says that we are sealed to the day of redemption. The Bible says, we know the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. It didn't say might not. It says shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Your salvation is permanent. Javon, you got saved this week. Hey, you're saved forever, buddy. Nothing's going to take that away. The Bible says when you are saved, you're placed in the Father's hand, and nothing can pluck it out of His hand. Don't forget that your salvation is permanent. Your salvation is permanent. But there are some things in our lives that if we're not careful, we'll kind of let it slip. We'll let it go, and it won't be permanent. I want to challenge you, teams. Make your love for God permanent. Make your love for God permanent. Man, it's easy when you're at camp and God's speaking to your heart, man, to get to the altar or to sit, be there at camp and think, man, God, thank you so much for all you've done for me. Lord, you love me so much and I just love you. I want to serve you. I want to give my life to you. Lord, I just love you so much. Very easy to do that when your spirit's revived. But when you do get home, and I know we're in the summer, when school starts back up again, and you start, maybe things, priorities start coming, other priorities, and it's very easy to let your love for God slip a little bit. It's easy to let your love and your desire to serve Him start to fade away if you're not careful. Make your love for God permanent. When I was preaching teen Sunday school this past Sunday at Bakey Row Baptist Church, we talked about not how the church at Ephesus left their first love. Hey, they were doing everything else right, but they left their first love. And God was disappointed in them. He had someone against him. And I'm challenging you to make your love for God permanent. Decide, listen, whatever comes into my life, no matter what trial, what struggle, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, I am not going to let my love for God fade. Man, I'm going to tell Him every day I love Him, and I'm going to show Him I love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hey, make your love for God permanent. Make your decisions for God permanent. Listen, you made purity vows this week. Every one of you came up to me and shook my hand and said, I promise. Said, I promise. I promise. And I looked in their eyes, and I'm telling you, I could see the seriousness. It wasn't fake. It was serious. And I'm challenging you, teens. You made that vow. Make it permanent. Hey, you know what? The devil's going to throw all these darts at you. And I think you said that he's putting on the armor of God. You need that armor of God to keep your decisions permanent. Listen, that vow that you made to stay pure, man, anytime you even get a temptation, remember that vow. It's a permanent vow. Make it permanent in your heart. Say, nothing is going to stop me from keeping this vow. Hey, the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Hey, if God's called you to do something this week, teenager, whether it's a youth pastor or music or being a better, all these different things, listen, that's not going to change. Do something about it. I think both of you said, you know, God spoke to me about it at Teen Spirit, but I didn't do anything about it. Well, now, not only are you accountable, but now we can work with you. We can help you. God can help you start furthering this call. God's called you to do something. Man, make it a permanent calling. Don't do anything to mess it up. Man, God wants to use each one of you in a special way. He's called each one of you to do something. Some of you may not know what that is yet. And folks, I'm sorry, this is who I'm really preaching to tonight. I'm preaching to you too, and I know you're listening. But listen, I don't want these teens to mess up on their decisions. Hey, I don't want them to lose that love for God. And I know you don't want the same thing. You teenagers, I'm telling you, whatever God wants you to do, just do it. Make it permanent. Somebody said, man, I need to be more faithful to church. Then make it a permanent decision and be here. The devil is smarter than we give him credit for. He is. And he knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly what to put on your calendar. He knows exactly what to put in your schedule to get you to miss church. Right. He knows exactly what you like. He knows exactly what kind of person to put in your life. And he can use whatever he can to keep you from being in his house, from being in God's house. I challenge you, teenagers. You made a faithfulness decision, then make it permanent. The first time you even feel the slightest temptation to skip out on church, man, You remember the decision that you made. Say, I'm not letting anything stop me. Daniel said, hell, he purposed in his heart. Man, make your decision for God permanent. Decide, hey, listen, some of you made decisions to forgive people. You had some bitterness in your heart towards people. And you said, no, I need to forgive them. Hey, don't let something creep back in. Don't let bitterness creep back in. Man, you protect yourself from the devil and his demons and what he's going to try to convince you to think. The Bible says charity thinketh no evil. Man, if you forgave someone this week in your heart, then you keep that. Make that decision permanent. Don't let anything change that. Make your decision for God permanent. Decide that you're not going to give up. God, like someone said, I think you said, Jesus died for me. I can live for him. Hey, he never gave up on us. So let's not give up on him. Let's not give up on him. And I want to say this last thing. I mentioned this in my last point, but the call of God is permanent. The call of God is permanent. Like I said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Teenagers, God has a plan for your life. Some of you feel that you know what that plan might be, being a youth pastor or whatever it may be. Some of you, the will of God right now, the call of God, you don't know exactly what he wants you to do. But can I say this? There is something for you. And folks out here, maybe you don't know what God wants you to do as an adult. God has something for you as well. God has a plan and a purpose for you as well. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If you've made decisions in your heart, and I'm talking to all of us now, as an adult, maybe to be a better witness. Hey, maybe to have a little bit more love and compassion. Maybe you made a decision to have a better walk with God. Maybe you made a decision, or the Lord spoke to your heart about being a better servant. About complaining less. It's very easy to complain. Anybody can complain. Whatever decision that you've made, make it permanent. Make it a permanent decision. And don't let anything get in the way of that decision. Man, God will help you. God will give you the strength. The Bible says, teens, listen, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That purity vow you made, you can do it. Hey, you can keep that vow to the day you're married. Hey, the decision of being a youth pastor, feeling God's call, hey, you can do it. You may think that you're nobody and the devil is going to tell you that you can't do it, but with God, you can do it. With God, you can do it. I know this young lady, Erin, talked about how she remembered that the Lord created her the way she is. Hey, I think all of us struggle with insecurity sometime. I know I did, and she said that I did struggle. Hey, I still struggle with insecurity sometimes. Hey, but God is faithful. And God can remind us. He made us. I told this young lady, not to all you teens, you start thinking a little bit less of yourself. And it's good to be humble. I don't want us to be proud and love ourselves that much. But listen, we need to love what God created. You look in that mirror and you say, you know what? Jesus died for that person. Yeah. Hey, Jesus loves that person. And you can realize that, like she said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Make that a permanent decision. The devil's going to sneak in. And any decision you made, he's going to say exactly what you don't want to hear. And some of you might believe him. Don't believe it. Trust in God's word and what he said. And make your decision permanent. And remember that the call of God is permanent. Make it permanent. If I had a permanent marker up here and I started writing on the walls, I mean, it's probably impossible to get that off. It's a permanent marker. Listen, you take a permanent marker and you in your heart, you write, God called me to be a youth pastor. Hey, I'm going to stay pure. You take that spiritual permanent marker and you write it down and listen, you stay accountable to my wife and I and to your parents. And parents, I encourage you, can I just say this? Some of your teens today, this week, made decisions to be faithful, to be in God's house. Can I challenge you to make sure you're in God's house? Can I challenge you to make sure that you're not hindering the decisions of your children? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but if you do, then I'm sorry. Do not, please, I'm begging you. I can only do so much. We need your help. We need your support. And I'm so thankful for the parents in this church and your support and your trust in me. But please, 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 help your teens with their decisions. I know you will. But if they made a decision to be a better witness, then you know what? Bring them to soul winning. And don't just drop them off. Why don't you go with them? I know this almost all our teens, he preached a message on the reality of hell. And I asked the question, how many of you have an unsaved family? And almost all of them raised their hand. They know and they want to be a better witness. On the way home, I didn't get to mention this, on the way down to Florida, we had tracts to give out. We had 5 tracts each, and we passed out almost 50, 60 tracts on our way down, giving the gospel out, with a desire to give the gospel out. Hey, help them with their decision. They want to be faithful to church. Make sure they're here every time the doors are open. Amen. If you're their only ride, then they need to get here. I'm telling you, I'm challenging them. Let them make their decisions permanent. If they want to make those decisions, man, help them with it. I'm begging you. I'm begging you as their youth pastor. Help them make their decisions permanent by being that spiritual leader in the home, those spiritual leaders in the home, and helping them with these decisions. Please, I beg you to do that. And in your life, make the decisions permanent. Make it permanent in your life. And teenagers, you know I love you. I'm so proud of you for this week. I'm so proud of you. You keep it up. We got service Wednesday night for teen class. You be here. And parents, you make sure you're here with your teens. I beg you to do that. I'm going to turn the invitation over to preach. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed.